Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Oh my goodness. My worlds are colliding, Brandon. Oh. We are talking the YouTube star of the Olsen House on... Yes?
Oh, no. I was going to say, are the boys into Mr. Beast?
Oh, my gosh. Are the boys into Mr. Beast? Are you kidding me? We're talking about the Olsen's favorite subject. My daughter, too, by the way.
I thought it was Dude Perfect. And,
well, they like them, too, but Mr. Beast is the cat's meow. All right. We're talking Mr. Beast, but first, 5 seconds of silence brought to you by Smarticle. Okay, here's the headline. In the belly of Mr. Beast. This comes via Time Magazine and Belinda Luscombe.
Yeah, pretty woke. That's all I'm going to say. A 7 on the woke-o-meter.
Okay. Yeah. Well, didn't seem that way. Here's a smidge. Jimmy Donaldson is the 25-year-old video wizard better known around the world as Mr. Beast. A recent video in which he and his posse of besties go on a vacation, spend $1 to $250 per day, garnered 52 million views in 24 hours. That's 20 times the number of people who watched the Succession finale and more than twice as many people that saw Barbie or Oppenheimer during opening weekend.
Crazy.
His most popular video, a version of the Korean TV show Squid Game, has been seen 500 million times. Crazy. Mr. Beast's videos could be best described as stuff as imaginative 9-year-old boy would try if he had like a gazillion dollars. Donaldson crushes expensive cars, gives strangers life-changing amounts of money, holds contests to see who could do dumb things the longest. In 2023 alone, these videos gained him 99 million new YouTube subscribers, almost double the growth of any other channel. He estimates he appears on a screen somewhere in the world 30 billion times a year. His sway has grown further than that.
Billion with a B.
Yeah. He's launched a line of snacks, by the way. Feastables now makes $500 million a year. Beast Philanthropy, where he gives away money. He helps blind people see. He's got a gazillion listeners. And by the way, now he's got a food service, delivery service, Mr. Beast Burger. That brought in $100 million. Have you watched a Mr. Beast video?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
It popped up in my feed or whatever. I saw one on, because I love this idea of the zombie apocalypse, and they do a lot of those kind of shows. And he went to one city. I mean, it's campy. It's made for kids. I mean, even the article said that the target audience is basically kids. I'm not saying that I love Mr. Beast. I love what he's doing because you know why? He is a disruptor. 100%. He is changing the world because he's basically said, we're going to take it out of the hands of studios. And we're going to put it in the hands of creators. And I just think it's fantastic. I love I'm not his target audience, but I watched his video. It's funny. They do some funny stuff. He's got a really, really interesting backstory. And there probably will not be another Mr. Beast. And what I mean by that is that he's proven that you can do this and be crazy successful. But now everyone's going to try to get in on that. Everybody is trying to create this kind of content. This guy's got big money behind it. He has 250 employees. It started off with him and his three buddies just making these stupid videos. Now he's got 200. I mean, he's like his own production studio now.
Well, so the videos are okay.
They're fine.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's the science of how he gets people to watch the videos is what's impressive. Like the art for the thumbnail. He has like 10 people on his staff that just do the art for the thumbnails.
Right.
The time of day. That he releases, the link, like there's so much science. And he said that's what he's an expert at. He's an expert of figuring out YouTube's algorithm to get people to watch. That's what he's an expert
at.
Not necessarily making the videos.
And you know, it's funny, you and I talk a lot about SEO and the algorithm and how should we do this and how should we do that. It's almost as if YouTube said, hey, listen, we're going to give you all the secrets so you can be huge so we could prove that we're going to draw people to it. Because in a sense, creating an inertia. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but creating an inertia on YouTube where people are he's like, we're going to get you all these people to watch on YouTube, and they're going to get more people. And more people are going to come onto YouTube because Mr. Beast is on YouTube. I'm saying it's a symbiotic relationship. There is a lot to be gained by having a Mr. Beast for YouTube. All that to say, I don't know how he figured this out, but it is pretty incredible what he does and how he gets listeners.
Well, just to kind of I don't know how you want to frame this, but my kids don't watch TV anymore. They watch YouTube. I leave the house and they have an hour.
Right.
They never turn on the TV.
Correct.
They only watch YouTube.
Right.
That's all they watch.
Right. Yeah, because it's again, it's all geared towards them. And if you watch TV.
No, but also kid, like I no, like watching YouTube stuff.
No, I do too. But my point is the reason why is because if you watch TV, there's a lot of crap on TV. They've been telling you what to watch on TV. Like you, in a sense, like, oh, watch this. Mr. Beast and people like him, creators like that, are like, ah, we're going to make movies about bags of poop on fire. You know, it's just a different beast altogether.
The other thing about YouTube, too, which is different than TV, is that the algorithm knows what you watched and gives you, in your feed, gives you more of what you want.
Right.
Like, whereas I turn on the TV, I'm sitting there scrolling.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, you should turn to the Discovery Channel right now.
Right.
YouTube does that.
Right, exactly. And I think that it's a little bit scary how much they can control what we watch. And I am scared for, Mr. Beast aside, I am fearful for our kids and the amount of time.
Why?
Because they're controlling, you think that they're showing you what they want to see. They're telling them what they want to see. They're tapping into something.
I'm not saying it's like there's, it's not puritanical. I get that there is.
Oh, no, but why, but I'm saying is that I think there are things to be aware of in this. This isn't pure. That's all my point is. This isn't, like, oh, we're all...
Wait a minute, hold on. So these tech industries don't have my best interest at heart? They...
Unfortunately, Lawrence, they don't.
Okay. So they just want my kids to keep watching more YouTube videos?
Yes, Larry, yes. Just like TikTok and everybody else. No, but it's an interesting it's an interesting conversation. It's like, so you've got Mr. Beast, who anybody over 30 is probably, huh? I don't know how... I think he just popped up in one of my TikTok... I don't even know where I heard about him. Because I don't have a kid that's old enough to be into Mr. Beast yet. I mean, usually it's our kids that kind of show. It's like, you know about Mr. Beast because probably your kids, right?
I like to think I'm the tech guy. They know about Mr. Beast because of me.
Oh, okay. But you're also in the industry. So it's a little bit different. Your world is sort of spent in this. But for the average American, that's not their world. Most of them are finding out about it from their kids, not the other way around.
If you've got a boy ages 11 to 16, it would be pretty, like, you're pretty naive to not think that your kids don't know about Mr. Beast.
Right. And that, so, yeah. So, but what I'm saying is that how do they know about Mr. Beast?
Well, yeah, the internet.
The internet and their friends. And it becomes, right now, my daughter is really, really into
Bluesy?
Gudetama. Have you ever heard of Gudetama? This freaking crazy Japanese hentai about an egg yolk. I kid you not, dude. But they are absolutely. That,
she needs a little more Mr. Beast because that sounds crazy.
No, that and Taylor Swift are huge in the Doble House right now. So my point is, I guess I would ask you the question, is this a good thing or a bad thing, Mr. Beast?
Well, listen, the thing about Mr. Beast is that it's pretty wholesome. And same thing with Dude Perfect, which is like the second. Like, you watch that and it is like totally family friendly. Like, Mr. Beast doesn't swear. He doesn't chop bodies up.
He does have
up.
A transgender person on the show, Larry.
That is, you know, but that's a great, in our house, it's like a talking point.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely undergoing this change, and it's kind of, but that aside, there's not, when you watch his content, there's nothing you're ever like, I don't know, that was questionable. Never.
Right.
And by the way, it's all entertaining.
Well, it's interesting because he grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, where I will be tomorrow, actually.
Oh.
He went to a very uber Christian school. He was raised evangelical Christian, and he basically says, I don't believe in any of that stuff anymore. Early in his career, he did a lot of teenage boy stuff where he would get online and he would say, like, fag and stuff like that, and he's been reprimanded for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brandon, I know you use the F word a lot when you know, you probably played Smeared
only
the Queer.
When I'm talking
I know
about,
you did that.
Only when I'm talking about cigarettes with my English friends.
All right.
No, but he basically has said that he has evolved as a person, which I think is, like, normal, right? He's grown up in a sense. He started making his videos when he was 13 years old. Now he's mid-20s, and he's worth, billions of dollars? I don't even...
He says he's not worth anything.
What?
That article said he takes every dime he gets and puts it back into his videos. I will say this, if you watch the Mr. Beast documentary, which I have, thank
What's
you very
on?
Much. Oh, YouTube.
Oh, okay.
It's incredible because he, you know, he's great. Like, he started it, like, he quit college.
Yeah.
He's like living out of his car. All he did was study YouTube videos. And he finally has a little bit of success. So he gets his first deal. Some company gives him $5,000 to make a video.
Right.
You know what he does with that $5,000?
No idea.
He videotapes himself giving that $5,000 to a homeless person. So literally finally gets a little bit of money after suffering for years. And he takes $5,000 to give to the homeless person. I believe he's one of these people that really does plow all his money back into his business.
Yeah, he's certainly not hurting for, I mean, he's able to do what he wants to do.
But he also, but he's not he, like once again, this document, yeah. He doesn't buy fancy cars, right. Doesn't got 12 houses. Like, he just, like.
I'd like to say that he's, in all seriousness, if both of you and I got, let's just say, a $50 billion deal, which one of us turns into the crazy Coke dude from Boogie Nights? I think it's you.
Well, listen, I definitely have seen Wolf of Wall Street, and I know that's how you would act. You'd throw parades, you'd have so much Coke that I've seen the movie, Brandon, and I know.
I don't know how much my life would fundamentally change, but I know your life would. The point.
I eat oatmeal every day.
The point to that is, very simply, no, and I don't think your life would change. I honestly believe you would be as close to your, you know, as much as a person could be. Neither one of us are going to go run out and buy Maseratis. I would not. I have no desire to do that. Would I buy some stuff for my house? Probably. But
I would get you a better chiropractor. And
a great chiropractor. Anyway, my point is, I think that this idea of Mr. Beast, one, he's an interesting character for sure, but that's not what made him successful. What made him successful was he figured out the algorithm.
What made him successful is that he just works hard. And he always says that. Let's see. He says he's always working. He just works all the time.
Yeah. And he works. He doesn't work enough.
I mean, it's like, he's not one of these people. He's not like.
He dates hot chicks.
Not like the Paul brothers. They work. Like, there's a lot of, like, Kim Kardashian. Right. I don't know. Anyways, he really does work hard. Like, it's not like he just got lucky. The reason he's successful is that he works hard.
Right.
That's it.
It's kind of interesting to me that he's still sort of the on-air. Like, they did, you know, the couple that I've seen, he's involved in all the videos, right? He gets in there,
he's
going to go live in an abandoned city for 7 days. I mean, he's doing all this stuff. Yep. But yes. You wonder, I mean, how do you keep an empire together when you're also, in a sense, the talent?
In theory, I'm sure this is what you're going to say about the Smarticle headquarters at one particular point. It's always about who you hire. Do you have good people that work for you that know the vision? And then aren't taking money out of cash registers. And, you know what I mean? Do you hire good people?
Do you think Pat Meade is taking money out of our cash register? Can we trust him?
Oh, I know he is. Like, I mean, I basically
know.
Well,
you were the one that recommended Pat Meade. He's worked for us because of you. So if Pat Meade's stealing from us, that's on you.
Yeah, man. If Pat's taking, you know, he's petty cash out of the safe, you know, to buy a pack of Marlboros at lunch. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I've talked to Pat about his smoking problem for sure. You know, Pall Mall Straits. I mean, he's that kind of guy. Anyway. Larry, I don't know about Mr. Beast, but I am intrigued. I will watch it with my daughter when she's a little bit older. I don't think right now she's quite in that vein, but maybe this summer when we come out to the Bay Area, we'll watch Mr. Beast with the boys.
She can watch with her really good friend, boyfriend, Trey Robert Olsen.
Trey Robert Olsen's not going near my daughter.
Hey-o.
That's the way it goes.
Hey-o.
All right, take us home, Larry.
Mr. Beast. That's what I do. That's the Mr. Beast song.
That's terrible. All right, Larry, thank you once again for not teaching me anything.